Rodgers in trouble. Does he have a vintage moment in him? In the end zone, it is caught for the win.
Pressure, pass is picked off, and who is it? Big B.J. Raji for the touchdown.
Welcome back to another episode of the Packs What She Said podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Maggie Loney, joined as always by Perry Goldstein. And today we are talking about fringe players on the roster, and more specifically, what those fringe players need to do to make the active roster. So we're talking about the 53, 55 man roster, not just the practice squad. These are guys that we'll be keeping an extra close eye on in training camp, in the preseason, which we will be at live when the Packers play the Texans. So Perry, what's up?
Not much. I'm excited about this topic. I think, like you said, we're looking more at players that like have either been on the 53 or you like expect to maybe make the 53. This is not like, you know, Juwan Winfrey time, although maybe we'll talk about practice squad players at some point when we have more intel. But this is like, I mean, the first one that comes to mind for me is like Jay Sternberger.
And really, you think he's that close to being a fringe guy?
Here's my thought process. So my thought process is the Packers have, let's see, how many tight ends on the roster? I should have looked this up before we started recording.
It should be 7 or 8.
1, 2, 3, 4. So, yeah, so they've got Robert Tonyan, pass catcher, also good blocker. Isaac Nauta, probably on the fringe, more of an H-back. Mercedes Lewis, solid lock. Branson Kafusi, I don't know what he brings to the table, likely a practice squad player. Josiah DeGuara, with his own unique skill set, coming off an ACL tear. Dominique Daphne, who really showed out last year when given the opportunity. So my thought process with Jace is he's going into year 3. He's not a proven pass-catching tight end. He hasn't been a very good blocking tight end, and he's been pretty low down on the depth chart. So, like, where does he fit into this offense? Like, he's going to have to kind of pick a lane and go with it, because I think all the other players have proven, like, carved out roles.
Yeah, and I mean, it understand why it happened and how it happened, but his 2-game suspension isn't going to help his case either. Exactly. It kind of helps the Packers because they can take like a fourth tight end and then bring him back, you know, a couple weeks into the season. But yeah, to start the season already knowing that you can't play the first 2 games, I think will be a challenge to him. But I, at this point, I think given his draft pedigree and the fact that he does have a little bit of an injury history, the Packers at least have to roll the dice and see what they have in him when he does come back healthy. And I think this will be like a really big preseason for him to see him in more actual game action.
Yeah. I guess a third round pick, you'd want to give at least another year or two. But like, is it safe to call this a prove it year for Jay Sternberger?
I think so. I think that's fair.
Like, I guess my thought process is if this is a prove it year, you put him on the roster, like you want to at least give him some kind of a consistent role, because he has to, that's the one thing that he hasn't been able to show is like showing up game in and game out and delivering consistently. He's had flashes here and there, but then there's games where his stat lines are just zero across the board, or he barely has any snaps. So I wonder what he looks like if he's actually given consistent snaps.
But no, I mean, I think we talked about this on Packs What She Said before. It's just interesting. Like you talk about Robert Tonyan kind of had the season that a lot of people thought that Jay Sternberger would have.
Right.
Like when you're expecting that type of breakout. And honestly, we may have, you know, kind of talked about this in a previous episode, but if you can get the two of them, they're probably your two best field stretching tight ends on the roster. Like a lot of what Robert Tonyan does is what we expected Jay Sternberger to do coming out of college. Yep. Josiah DeGuara is not necessarily a field stretching back, and Dominique Daphne also isn't. Obviously Mercedes Lewis not at this phase of his career. So if you can have two dominant tight ends in, you know, whether it's 22, 12, whatever type of personnel you're using them in, obviously that does really good things for Matt LaFleur's offense. But it's just,
Matt LaFleur loves his two tight end sets.
Right.
So you create mismatches where, let's say, you have Tonyan, Jay Sternberger, and you get Aaron Jones and Devonta Adams on the field. It's like, what? Who do you cover? What are they right. doing? My point being, though, with Jace is, like, I agree he was probably drafted with the intention of him being a pass-catching tight end, because the entire Texans A&M offense was just completely, like, modeled around him. And he was their offense. But I think in order for him to be any kind of mismatch, and I guess this is a little bit unfair, now I'm playing devil's advocate for myself, is, like, most tight ends aren't going to be your George Kittle, Rob Gronkowski level elite at both things you ask tight ends to do. You do have to pick one. I just think, like, in order for the mismatch that we just talked about to be something that defenses respect, he's going to have to catch up in the blocking game.
Yeah. And let's, if you're okay, are you okay to move on from Jace?
Yeah.
Okay, so flipping it then to another third round pick, I think both of us immediately think of Oren Burks as somebody who, you know, needs to prove himself and earn kind of that roster spot. And Jimmy and I talked about this a little bit today on Pack-A-Day, but, you know, if you look at the production that he's had, the Packers didn't do him any favors last season when they kind of said, oh, maybe we're going to try him at outside linebacker. Maybe he'd be better off the edge. Maybe that's a skill set like he's better suited for. And he's played, like, I think he played 9% of snaps on defense last season.
That's it.
The most snaps he's played on defense was in 2018. He played 12% of defensive snaps. But then if you flip it, when you talk about what do these players need to do to make the roster, he played 78% of special team snaps.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that could be, like, he's basically the linchpin of the Maurice Straighten special teams unit at this point. Like, that's a lot of snaps to replace.
Okay. I agree with you, but you don't draft someone in the third round to play special teams.
Right.
Okay, so here's my thought process with Oren Burks, because I agree this is, like, this is it. Because there's Chris Barnes and there's Kamal Martin, who even Ty Summers, in my mind, are ahead of him on the depth chart.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're going to have any year where you need to prove it, I think having Joe Barry in the building, who covets and cares so much about inside linebackers, like, this is the year.
Yeah. And I mean, even Ty Summers, like, you just mentioned it. He had skipped Oren Burks on the depth chart. He played 17% of snaps on defense. He was the guy that came in, like, when Chris Barnes was injured. He's taken snaps as the Mike linebacker. Like, I mean, you can tell that Ty Summers is doing what he needs to do. And that's as a seventh round pick. Like, I would say at this point, Ty Summers is almost more of a roster lock than Oren Burks would be, which is kind of shocking given, you know, like, we're talking about their draft status, but Oren Burks has also had 3 seasons to prove himself, and Ty Summers is going into his third year.
I think, yeah, I get draft pedigree, but at the same time, in my mind, once you're drafted, everyone's on the same playing field, right? Like, you all get into the building and you all just have to prove, I don't want to say prove your worth, but prove your worth, you know, like, it doesn't matter if you're a first, a third, a seventh round pick, you're drafted for a reason. And so you can either come in and produce, or you can come in and you don't. Maybe that's not me putting my GM hat on enough and thinking about, like, monetarily and, you know, investment wise at certain draft, like, levels, what that means. But I would rather take Ty Summers over Oren Burks right now, and I don't care where they were drafted.
Right. And I mean, I think, you know, to kind of further that point, the Packers brought in Devondre Campbell for a reason. And whether it's the lack of depth that they feel they have, like, maybe it's a lack of experience, like, proven starting talent. Like, they think Chris Barnes and Kamal Martin can be the guys, but they aren't sure. So they want to bring a vet in. Like, all he does is push somebody else further down the depth chart. Like, right. The Packers kept 4 last season, and 4 of them are currently on the roster now battling for a spot with Devondre Campbell, who is, you know, it would be shocking if he was the guy that the Packers moved on from an inside linebacker. So it definitely just feels like Oren Burks has, I think, the toughest hill to climb at this point.
Yeah. So before we move on to another player, so as you know, I've been doing, like, a decent amount of research into the both of us have, into, like, what we think Joe Barry is going to bring to this defense. And one of my major question marks still, and it's probably not going to be something that we know until we see them on the field, is, like, what exactly he is going to do at inside linebacker. Because it feels like nickel is essentially going to be the base since he covets the star position so much. And it'll probably be a safety or a defensive back who plays that star position. So like, who's going to be the starter at inside linebacker? Like my mind right now, it's Chris Barnes. Are they going to have even multiple on the field often enough for it to warrant them keeping more than like three or four inside linebackers even on the roster? Like that's still a question mark. I don't know if you have any idea or an answer, but it's just something that I guess I'm going to look at a lot when we're at training camp and in preseason games.
Yeah. And that does actually kind of segue into like one of the players I wanted to ask you about is Will Redmond. And it feels like, given, you know, that it's basically Adrian Amos and Darnell Savage at this point is like the proven commodities in the safety room. What we know, like we've already seen out of Will Redmond as far as like where he's taken starting snaps. We saw him in some of that star role. Like, do you think that he constitutes being a fringe player, or do you think that he would be closer to a roster lock at this point just because there's not a lot of proven talent at the safety position behind the two starters? Because he can kind of, depending, there's other guys I want to talk about that are a better fit opposite like a Chris Barnes in that hybrid safety inside linebacker role.
Yeah, he's not hybrid. He's a strong safety or a free safety. I think I'm lower on Will Redmond than the Packers are because they brought him back on a contract. They're paying him, what, a mil? Yeah, a base salary of $1 million. So that to me is like, why would you bring him back if he wasn't going to make the roster? I also hearing from the people who've been at mini camps and OTAs, he was going with the ones in nickel a little bit. So I think that gives me my answer. I think he's more of a lock than I personally would if I'm wearing my GM hat and I would have chosen.
Yeah, and I mean, I think he's an interesting candidate because, you know, the Packers moved on, obviously, from Raven Green. Will Redmond, I know it took a little bit of time, but he did end up returning. They don't know what they have in Vernon Scott. The room's kind of crowded. I mean, you have Henry Black, who is not a proven commodity, Enos Gaines. So there are a bunch of names there, but right now, none of them. Right, Christian Uphoff is one of the guys I wanted to talk about. I don't know if you can call him a fringe player because we've seen absolutely nothing from him, but it does, he's an interesting candidate as maybe one of those fringe players who, when we talk about what do they need to do to make the 53, he could carve out a nice role for himself as like a safety inside linebacker hybrid, because there isn't really somebody outside of maybe Adrian Amos who would fit that role right now for the Joe Barry defense.
So interestingly, actually, if all of Redmond's salary is base, he can actually be cut for free. So that's interesting. That actually does change it in my mind. But at this, like, if I'm looking at straight production, I think he's on the fringe. Because again, like you just named a bunch of guys who, if they have a great camp, if they show out in preseason and they're already like kind of on the radar of coaches, Matt LaFleur, et cetera, I don't think the jump over Will Redmond is going to be that difficult.
Well, and I was going to say, okay, so I pulled up his stats. He played more on defense than I maybe thought. I guess I don't know what I expected him to play, but he played 33% of defensive snaps and 55% of special team snaps. Mm. So I knew he played probably that much special teams. And it feels like cheating to say that this is kind of how, you know, you become not a fringe player and you do make the active roster is by special teams. But for a lot of these guys, unless they genuinely become like active starters, this is going to be the tiebreaker. Like a guy like Malik Taylor made the roster last season primarily because of his role on special team. So it's cheating, but it does, you know, play a part.
It does. You can't discount it. Because we always complain about special teams and then we're like, hey, it doesn't matter, but it does.
Well, and especially when you have a guy like Devin Funchess, who we know won't come in and play special teams. So let's talk about him, actually. Like, as, you know, a player that I think is kind of not, he's not polarizing to fans, but we don't know what he is as a commodity yet.
I don't think Devin Funchess is a fringe player. Do you? I don't.
No, I personally don't. But I mean, I think if you're talking about, like, it's a crowded position group. And, you know, we talked with Andy on the Packs What She Said live show that we had, where, you know, it's Davante Adams, you know, it's Alan Lazard, you know, it's MVS. So that's three, you know, it's Amari Rodgers. That's four. But if the Packers only keep five wide receivers, you know, and Aaron Rodgers has talked about in the past, not that he should be making personnel decisions, but he said, like, you know, he hypes up a guy like Jake Kumerow and then he gets cut. Like, Aaron Rodgers has hyped up EQ quite a bit. So if there's a fifth roster spot and Devin Funchess hasn't caught a pass from Aaron Rodgers, you know, since they've been in the building together, and then EQ is one of Aaron Rodgers' like fun guys that he likes, you know what I mean? Like, that's the only way I could see it being any type of, like,
my thing is that if Aaron Rodgers was in the building and working with the wide receivers and he decided, you know, I have a better connection with EQ, fine. But Aaron Rodgers isn't in the building, so he doesn't really get to make those decisions in my mind.
Right.
If you can tell from my tone of voice, starting to get a little annoyed with him.
that's fair.
So that's my rebuttal. I mean, I think the Packers didn't have to bring back Devin Funchess. They could have just moved on after this year. Not necessarily the right thing to do, but they could have. But they brought him back on a deal, and he chose to come back. And so I think that's my – I don't know why they would then go cut him. Granted, it's a pretty cheap deal. And he's coming off of, like, he hasn't played since, like, mid-2019, right? Like, he's missed, like, a season and a half, if not more.
So, I mean, he got hurt with the Colts, like, his first or second game, and then lost, really? Like, the – yeah, so he's been out almost two full seasons.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, like, that, again, I always play devil's advocate with myself.
You do,
like,
with your own self.
I know. With it, that's the counter argument, though, is, you know, who knows what he's even going to look like? Like, can he produce still? I mean, how old is Devin Funchess?
27?
Yeah. He's 27. So he's not old. Like, he's still young. He still could have, like, plenty of career left in him.
So let's flip it then, because I guess then a fringe player, if you think that Devin Funchess is a roster lock for, let's even say, like, the fifth spot, is EQ, like, what is the sixth wide receiver? Do they keep six wide receivers? Could it? No, you think, okay, let's talk about it. Talk about it.
Okay. yeah, I think EQ's role on this team is in jeopardy.
Okay.
I agree. There's a couple of reasons. One of which you just mentioned, which is I highly doubt the Packers keep more than five. And the first four to me are locks. Davante, Lazard, Amari Rodgers, and MVS not going anywhere.
Right.
Devin Funchess, I wouldn't call him a lock, but he feels more like a lock than EQ does. And it's not, like, again, it's not, I'm not trying to, like, knock the person. You're just looking at productivity versus time on the team. And EQ's been plagued with injuries. When he does play, he hasn't shown up a ton. I think his rookie season, he looked better than MVS did. And he certainly, like you mentioned, had a connection with Rodgers. But that's now been like a season and a half since he's, like, meaningfully produced. And I don't think he really plays much special teams. So, like, what is your – those are my questions to me. How long have you been on the team? What have you actually contributed, and what is the role you've carved out for yourself? Like, those are the three questions that I ask myself when looking at these fringe players. And I don't really, the answers about EQ, like, don't stack up to someone who is a lock to make this team.
Yeah. And I mean, EQ to me is, like, in a similar, maybe not because he wasn't drafted as high, but it's kind of like Jay Sternberger, where he had some good looks his 2018 season, which of course was not a good season for the Packers. And then his 2019 season was entirely lost to injury. Then he comes back in 2020 and he's still got, like, some nagging injury stuff. And then he's, like, relegated to the very bottom of the depth chart, where it's really hard to climb out of. And, you know, he did play some special teams. He played, like, 10% of special team snaps this past season, but when he was a rookie, he played 33% of snaps on offense, which maybe doesn't seem like a lot, but he started seven games.
Yeah.
And then, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, if you're going off of also one of your arguments, which is, like, what's the draft pedigree, it's low enough for the Packers to move on from him.
Right.
In that sense.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I think if I had to put money down at this point, it would be that he doesn't make the roster. But, So
that's crazy though. Still, like, I'm saying it and I agree with you, but it's also kind of wild.
Well, cause okay. So, and this doesn't really tie into the fringe thing, I guess, but we're looking at 4 tight ends to start the season because of no Jace. Running backs is a question mark. 3 or 4. They kept 4 to start last season.
I think 4.
I think Patrick Taylor and Kylan Hill both make the roster. But yeah, then what does wide receiver look like? You know, like 5.
Yeah,
I think it's 5. It's been 6. It's been as much as 7, but I think this year, given the depth at tight end, it's 5.
I think there's enough practice squad level players in the wide receiver group for them to bring back 5 on the active roster and pull up like a Juwan Winfrey if need be.
Malik Taylor.
Yeah, yeah. Reggie Begelton, any one of those.
Bailey Gaither could be a fringe player. I'm just kidding. Maybe though.
Any other players that come to mind for you when you like think of this sort of fringe roster spot group?
Yeah. And you talked about it a little bit right before we went live, but I'm saying he makes the roster solely because I don't think there's enough depth at the position, but Tyler Lancaster.
Yeah.
Is like a, I was going to say big one, like metaphorically and physically, but yes, he's.
Yeah, I agree. I think depth wise, they need him. Also could be like a mid-season move on from, right? Like, let's say TJ Slayton shows up, Kingsley Keke show up, you know, then we got Dean Lowry and Kenny. Do you need Tyler Lancaster if those other guys further down the depth chart are taking those snaps?
Well, and I know, like, I mean, you can't really compare like the talent level, but the Packers just released Anthony Rush a couple weeks ago to make room for, it might've been Devondre Campbell, but you know, they already didn't have a ton of depth in the room. So like they had Jack Heflin who came in as an undrafted free agent. And then the only other roster holdover outside of Anthony Rush was Willington Prevalon. So it's like they must feel at least comfortable with some of the guys that are in there now if they don't need like additional competition. And obviously Kenny Clark just got his massive payday. You know who he is and what he can be. Had a little bit of an injury misfortune last season. So you're hoping that he is healthy. But yeah, I mean, beyond him, like, I think that's why Dean Lowry restructured and they didn't move on entirely from him. Kingsley Keke, we've seen what he can do, like his 2-sack performance against the Saints. Like, he has flashes, but as a whole, I think that the room primarily is made up more of pass rushers than run stuffers, which is where TJ Slayton and Tyler Lancaster can kind of make their statements is, you know, Dean Lowry's not going to stuff the run as easily as Tyler Lancaster.
Nobody will sack you if he goes unblocked.
There you go.
Yep. Well, this was an interesting combo. Definitely, I think us like gearing up for what we want to see in training camp when we're up there in August. And besides watching the stars do their thing, I think these players will have our eye on, because some of these, I think a lot of like roster building is these tough conversations of filling out these fringe players and choosing wisely on potentially like projecting if they're going to contribute at all in like a meaningful way. And when you have crowded rooms like the wide receiver room, for example, you know, deciding between a Devin Funchess and an EQ can actually end up being a really, really big decision in the long run. So it'll be interesting to see what coach and what Goot do.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, and maybe this is just us like projecting, but it always feels like even like when we make our own like mock 53s, like the 48, 49, it's pretty easy to figure out like, you know, who the key contributors are. A lot of times you can look either through free agency, the draft, or like players that were key contributors last season. But a lot of the players we listed, like Oren Burks, he's only kind of stuck around because of his draft pedigree and not necessarily the production that you saw on the field. So I think some of those spots who likely might not even be active on game day are the ones that you take a swing at, where it's like the projection of what their upside could be and not what they've already seen on the field, which is why preseason matters so much to some of these guys. I know. This was fun.
This was fun. Yeah. All right. As always, follow us on Twitter at @Perry_Goldstein, at @MaggieJLoney. Follow the podcast at PWSS Podcast on Twitter, Packs What She Said on Instagram. You can follow us at Packs What She Said on Twitch. you will find us. What do we have coming up? We have our live show in July. Perry will be at the beach, so it will be an interesting background scenario for us there. We are going to be doing something special with a bunch of Packers blogospherers. Did I just turn that into...
You tried to make it a thing. I don't know what that was.
But. We are mid-July, and then we will be up for training camp in August. So lots of exciting stuff coming down the pipeline, and get ready for it all.
Yeah, and catch us at the home opener that we're planning to be at week two against
the Lions Monday night. So as always,
go Pack Go.
Town.